Hello, and welcome to the live retail online integration webinar, Using Digital Catalogs to Increase Consumer Engagement and Conversions, sponsored by Bluetoad, a digital edition publishing company. I'm Joe Keenan, Managing Editor of Retail Online Integration, and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Here today to discuss how retail brands can leverage digital catalogs as part of their cross-channel marketing programs to grow sales, we have Charles Nichols, founder and chief strategy officer of CY, a provider of online remarketing tools designed to optimize website conversion rates. Charles is also a speaker and analyst in all things related to website conversion optimization. And he'll be joined by Kevin Chamberlain, a SEM specialist at Retail Resource, a B2B retailer of store fixtures, merchandising products, and operational supplies for retail stores. So without further ado, I'd like to pass it over to Charles to get us started.
Well, brilliant. Thanks very much, Joe. So let me kick off. Just a quick introduction slide from me, in addition to what Joe's already mentioned. I spend a lot of my time thinking about customer behavior and why people buy and why they don't buy. And so I suppose you could put myself as a sort of an analyst or data geek in that kind of box. I write for a whole series of different publications. And produce educational materials. In terms of the company I work for, which is, I guess, my daytime job, I'm not really going to talk about them today, but I work for CY. It's a real-time shopping cart recovery service. It's live on about 2,500 e-commerce sites, and we recover on annually about $500 million in revenue. And fortunately, they also fund Conversion Academy, which I chair, which is where I get to do my number crunching, and I can geek out as much as I like and educate and analyze really what it takes to get conversions. And it was really in that journey of beginning to analyze conversions, we begin to think about the customer journey in more detail, that we started looking at digital catalogs. So I have no axe to grind in digital catalogs at all. All I have done is by analyzing conversion, I've basically found that digital catalogs are really important for conversion, and yet they're one of the sort of best-kept secrets in the industry. If you're a traditional cataloger, then you may well be thinking, okay, how can I get this thing to be digital? But if you're a non-catalog, you don't have a catalog company today, you don't have a catalog offering, a paper catalog today, then this may well still be something you should do because it can be a very rich source of traffic. Okay, so that's kind of enough intro. Let's start with the structure. Very brief introduction. I'm going to talk briefly about paper catalogs as a level set, and then we'll go on and talk about digital catalogs and how they're impacting the conversion path. We'll also talk about mobile, and in particular tablet computing and how tablet is changing the way that people are buying, and how tablets are very important when you start thinking about digital catalogs because they're really two sides of the same coin. And it is the wide availability and use of tablets as part of the shopping experience, one might call it recreational shopping experience, that really makes the digital catalog fly. Then I've got a couple of slides, a couple of mini case studies of companies, digital catalog merchants that are using digital catalogs, which I've interviewed when I was writing for an article on the subject for Practical E-commerce. And I'll share with you their conversion metrics because conversion metrics in digital catalogs are quite hard to come by. And then wrap up with five best practices. So that's kind of my structure. So firstly, just thinking about traditional catalogs. You might think a catalog is a sort of very 1980s kind of concept, and it's not something you've necessarily thought about, or you may already have one. But, you know, if you look at the numbers, there is a very strong link between website visits, you know, 67% more people visit as a result of receiving a catalog, and then a higher conversion rate, significantly higher conversion rate when people receive a catalog. And then typically, but not always, because obviously these are average numbers, catalog recipients spend more. So you've got a combination of driving people to the web, secondly, more people converting, and thirdly, them spending more. So, I mean, that just sounds fantastic. You know, what's not to like here? Well, of course, the downside of a traditional printed catalog is the unbelievable, eye-watering cost of producing and distributing a printed catalog. Having said all that, we did a study a couple of years back where we looked at the top 10 converting websites in the U.S., and we found that 9 out of 10 all had a printed catalog. And I think it's not a coincidence. I mean, obviously, the numbers there, you can't necessarily say it's causal, but in fact, when you look at the top converting websites in the U.S., one of the things that they had done really, really well is they'd focused very much on how they get repeat business. And it's repeat business ultimately that is beginning to drive up your conversion rate. So there is clearly a link there between good traffic and conversions with physical catalogs. The same thing applies, we would hope, with digital catalogs. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. Now, the first thing I want to talk about really when we think about conversion, what does it take actually to get somebody to convert, is that it is typically going to take a sequence of touches before somebody is ready to convert. 5 touches across 1.5 channels is a sort of a rule of thumb for B2C e-commerce. And those touches can be a marketing touch. They can be, you know, retargeted advertising, or they might be your email newsletter, or a whole combination of different things across different devices and different channels. In the case of a tablet, one of the things which is incredibly beneficial is the advent of catalog applications designed for tablets, which basically means that you can use your digital catalog as a source of traffic. So in this particular chart, I've got the tablet and the digital catalog as being the first source of the first point of contact. And it may well be that you may get the conversion there, or it may take a sequence of visits before ultimately the customer is ready to convert. The reason I think it's important to think about it as a sequence of visits is that most people very rapidly jump to the conclusion that there's a conversion path, and all I've got to do is throw more people onto the conversion path and optimize my conversion path, and you know, I'll make more money. And it's true, you will, but you've got to really look at the numbers, which is the vast majority of people don't convert on the first visit. In fact, this is data we analyzed for the Conversion Academy, and we basically found that if you look on an e-commerce site overall, only 0.25% of first-time visitors will convert in that same session, which is minuscule. That means that 99.75% of people that you have arrived on your site and you've got this fantastically optimized conversion path. And, of course, you know, the vast majority of those are not going to convert. But if you can get them back and they then become a returning visitor, they haven't still spent money with you, but a returning visitor, then your chance of conversion go up dramatically. In fact, they go up 9-fold. If you can get them as far as your shopping cart, so they've actually added something to the cart, then your chance of conversion compared with that first-time visitor go up 72-fold. And if they abandon multiple times, then it's 192-fold. So the numbers are just, you know, exponential, and really what this tells you is that the more somebody visits your site or the more touches that you might have with them, the more that you can educate them about your products and your brand and what you do, the more likely they are to convert. And, you know, it's kind of funny, really, because sometimes you do all this analysis and you come up with this fantastic new analysis and you go, duh, it's kind of a really obvious thing that more somebody knows you as a business, gets comfortable with you, more times they visit your website, clearly the more likely they are to buy. But it just makes the point, because we've just got to remember that, you know, although you might look at your web analytics products, and your web analytics products will tell you how many people arrived today and how many people converted and where they came from, you're treating all the traffic as being one uniform thing, it's all the same. And, of course, they're not. Somebody who's a first-time visitor is fundamentally different from somebody who's a fourth-time visitor or returning customer. Okay, so why do actually people not buy? I mean, that's always a really good way of thinking about it, because when we've – in fact, this is a brand-new chart. We only just produced this this quarter, and we surveyed just around about 5,000 U.S. consumers and asked them, you know, these are online shoppers, why did you not buy? Number one reason why they didn't buy is because they're not yet ready to buy. And then after that, you've then got a price objection, which, you know, is typically some price or shipping and handling being a very important element too. But the fact they're not yet ready to buy really should help you to then think about, so what are the things that I can do, you know, in order to then get them so that they are then ready to buy? One of the things they might do is they might download a catalog. That would be a great simple way of doing it. Then they've got the ability to browse something offline. If you look at the rest of the list, then some of those are promotional. And then at the very bottom of the list, really appearing for the first time is I'm on a mobile device, and therefore I'm not ready to convert. So one of the things we should think about is, you know, the difference between conversion on a full desktop device and difference with when you're on a mobile device. And you might have a 72% shopping cart abandonment rate on a desktop or overall, and but a 97% abandonment rate on mobile devices, so way, way higher. So let's have a little look at mobile, because whilst it's kind of really obvious that you might give people a sequence of nudges to help get them down that path, and, you know, digital catalogs can undoubtedly play a very important role in that, what is actually happening in mobile? That's really an important part of the puzzle. Now, this is from a piece of data or a research report which is referenced there, produced by the guys at Google. And what they really were talking about was multi-screening and how people's behavior is changing and that consumers are beginning to use multiple devices as part of their shopping process. So it might be that you find something initially on a tablet, but because you don't feel comfortable purchasing on a tablet, you might well then purchase on a full-screen device. Of course, this makes attribution a complete nightmare because now people are moving across devices and you can't track them across devices and all those sorts of things. But it's reality of actually what is happening. Of course, multi-screening can also mean that they're actually surfing the web on perhaps a tablet whilst they're sat on the couch and the TV is on in the background. So they can be doing multiple things at the same time. Now, when we actually go and look at real conversion data in mobile, what you find is that the vast majority of conversions are still desktop. Probably about 90% of conversions thereabouts are desktop. It varies a little bit by time of day, and you begin to see the sort of recreational use of tablets kicking in the evening. It doesn't change so much for smartphones. That's pretty constant. That's sort of around about the 2% mark. Doesn't really change that much. Doesn't go up or down. But in terms of share of conversions, tablets begin to kick in the evening. But the bulk is still on a desktop device. And when you actually look at mobile as a whole, so tablets and phones together, then all the action in terms of conversions, or 82% of the action, is on tablets. So tablets is where it's at. So tablets are really important if you begin to think mobile. Everyone's talking up mobile commerce as being a really big thing and it's going to grow fast. Well, tablets is where the action is. So what is an application or what is a great way of marketing to people on tablets in the way that they use tablets, and clearly tablets are used recreationally. They're used, we've done research which asks people where they use them around the house. And 10% of people actually have made conversions from the bathroom, you know, using a tablet. I mean, I hate to think of the hygiene consequences of that. You really want to kind of disinfect every tablet you pick up. But, you know, people use them in bed. They use them on the couch. They make conversions in the bathroom, all over. And that really mirrors what happens with the traditional catalog. And this is why these two things are totally interlinked, because catalogs, you know, are there in the bathroom. Catalogs are read in bed. Catalogs are read on the couch. They're read at the breakfast table, all over. And very much the tablet is beginning to take on that role. If we look in an intraday pattern, you can begin to see what happens, really, that whilst the mobile device doesn't change that much, the smartphone device down the bottom, you can see how tablet conversion rates really climb as you go through into the evening. So from early afternoon onwards, this is all set to Eastern time, but from early afternoon onwards, then the conversion rate is going to climb. That really reflects the fact that the way people are beginning to use these devices for different purposes is changing. Now, some data from Forrester. This is really quite interesting, because on the left hand you've basically got what are CIOs doing, and on the right hand you've got what are consumers doing. And if you ask consumers about the type of channel that they want to purchase from, they don't really want to purchase from a mobile version of the website. They don't really want to purchase from an app. What they really want to do is they really want to purchase from a full version of the standard website that performs fast. They want the full set of functionality. They get used to it because they're used to it on the full desktop. But if you look at the left-hand side, then you see there is an awful lot of focus on applications, on apps themselves. Now, every business is different, and clearly apps are right for many, many businesses. But if you were saying to me, okay, so I'm in this kind of industry, I'm a retailer, I'm a brand, I'm selling B2B, then and you're in the mind for a catalog or building an application, a catalog is probably easier, faster, and quicker, and has some fundamental benefits that apps will not have. So really key to begin to think about that as being a potential option. Of course, catalogs don't appeal and don't, in fact, appear on that list at all because they don't appeal to CIOs because they're viewed very much as being a marketing thing, and yet they can have a very big impact on conversions, as we'll see in just a moment. So let's move on. Let's have a little look at conversion metrics now. Let's look at some catalog conversions. So this is one. This is Hamilton Jewelry, and Hamilton Jewelry have a digital catalog. They didn't, I believe, have a traditional print catalog. I may be wrong from that. It's a while since I spoke with those guys. But they made the decision to actually put their catalog into a catalog aggregator. So this is an application which you download onto the tablet. So Google Catalogs would be a big one. As a freebie, which is you don't have to pay to go into it. Catalog Spree would be another one, where you just have to pay for the sort of a commission based upon the traffic that comes through, the click-through revenue. So it's sort of an affiliate type of model. And the beauty about these kind of catalog aggregating apps is that you go in there and you find there are hundreds of catalogs. So if you're Hamilton Jewelry, you can have your catalog sitting right alongside Macy's and Nordstrom's and lots of other big brands, and basically you can surf into a really rich traffic stream. Now, the traditional printed catalog can't do this for you because the traditional printed catalog only goes out to people you already know. So you're basically marketing to your install base and obviously doing it in a rich, effective way that drives conversions. But as soon as you go digital and you've then got these recreational apps where people can sit on the couch and they can browse through a whole series of different catalogs and they can pin and share and do all the social things off those catalogs, and they can build their own personal lookbooks where they can combine different things from different catalogs and then think about purchasing them and kind of get in the mindset. And that's why you see this massive increase in site traffic, which can potentially come from going into the catalog aggregating apps for the first time. In this particular case, 30 to 40% increase in site traffic initially, and then a 10 to 20% growth in traffic each month since. Really phenomenal. 68% of the traffic coming from the catalog is new. And that is, of course, something that you would never see from your traditional print catalog. Different example here, slightly different metrics, also a jewel. That's just coincidence more than anything else. But when you look at the click-through traffic, spend twice the amount of time on site than a normal visitor, has twice the conversion rate, and an increase in the average order value of 33%. So remember when we went back to the original print catalog, we said you get more people coming through to the site because they click through, and then you get a higher conversion rate, and then you get a higher average order value. Well, lo and behold, you're seeing a very similar thing here. Now, it's not going to be the same necessarily for everybody, but clearly, these things have, really quite a big impact on conversion because these are big numbers when we're talking conversions. Now, of course, conversions are challenging sometimes to measure, and I can tell you now that attribution is going to be a little bit problematic. If you think about the journey that we've talked about where customers are going to be potentially looking on different devices, they're going to be looking on a tablet, but they may not feel comfortable purchasing on a tablet. In fact, a recent consumer survey we did showed that 80% of consumers do not feel comfortable purchasing on a tablet. Therefore, that tells you that what's going to happen is they may browse on the tablet, but they may ultimately purchase on a desktop device. And that gives you a complete tracking nightmare. What, of course, you can do is you can track click-through revenue, or at least you can track click-through as far as the website, and then hopefully you can track your conversions from there. Here is one of the Google Catalog product managers basically admitting that, yes, there is a problem here. In fact, the benefit of having that catalog is probably bigger than the revenue that you can track through using click-through revenue, simply because that's the stuff you can measure. But it isn't going to measure the stuff where they switch device and are then going to then go on a desktop device before they then come through. So having said all that, the metrics still look pretty good. Okay, so let's touch on 5 digital catalog best practices and then summarize. And then I'll pass you over to Kevin, and Kevin can tell you about his experience with digital catalogs. So this is really just a quick summary. First of all, stay current. So, the catalog can go out of date, very, very quickly. And obviously, if your stock items are changing rapidly, then you need to keep up to date with it and refresh it frequently. Now, in the case of producing a digital-only catalog, that is going to be much easier to do than if you're producing a print catalog, because obviously the print run and the cost of print and distribution are really prohibitive from doing that. So stay current. If you go digital-only, you can certainly do that. Or maybe you can refresh the digital one more rapidly. If you already have a print catalog, then obviously you can convert that into a digital catalog really easily, because in fact all you need to get up onto one of these catalog aggregators is a PDF version of your catalog, and away you go. Secondly, use compelling photos. I mean, now it's kind of obvious that you need really high quality imagery, but if you go and download Google Catalogs or Catalog Spree or one of those, you'll see that some of the photography is really high quality and some is a bit patchy. Perhaps it's because it's been a physical catalog that's then been scanned and it doesn't look so great. You can also obviously show your product in context, which is really interesting because, rather than just having the straight product shot, which you might have on your product detail page, you can almost create something which is more of a lookbook for your brand, which can create an imagery around it, maybe shows, just as some of the home furnishing companies do, maybe shows a whole series of products in context used together, almost staged in that way, which can then show how the products can be used in action. So really think about how you're going to use and display that. The photography may be a cost if that's something you don't already have there, but will pay dividends for you, particularly if you're a less well-known brand. Third point, which all the companies who have a physical catalog know well, which is, you've got to keep items in stock, and in particular, you've got to try and sync your stock purchasing with the products which get featured in the catalog. So, one of the classic problems of the big catalog companies is that, the creative guy building the catalog decides to feature that particular image because that's a particularly good photograph, and therefore, the red fleece gets featured more. And as a result, then all of a sudden on the back end you find that you're selling 10 times more red fleeces than blue, and that wasn't how you'd originally planned your purchasing because you expect to sell more of the blue than the red. So you've really got to keep an eye on that and be careful about which products you feature and the impact that can potentially have on your product sales at the back end. Of course, you can take a leaf out of one of the big catalog companies, go and have a look at how, for example, Land's End do it, and what you'll see is you'll see a whole series of different products or different colorways of the same product being shown together. So they don't necessarily feature one. They try and show all of them so that you get enough exposure for each product, and ultimately it sells a bit more evenly. So be aware of that one. Third one, use rich media. Rich media is important because, in particular, the aggregators are going to feature certain catalogs each month, and they're going to promote them for you, or maybe even each week. And you really want to get onto that promoted list. So just as being, if you had an app and you want to be in the App Store, how do you get promoted? How do you get seen? How do you get visibility is really important. And having rich media means that you're much more likely to get promoted. Having rich media and a fresh catalog with fresh content in there, you're much more likely to get promoted. So, the catalog aggregator wants to show off all the features. They want to show off the social sharing, et cetera. So if you've got highly engaging, maybe even videos like how-to videos or things like that, then that's a great way of doing it. If you want to have a look at a digital catalog that does that very nicely, then go and have a look at the Williams and Sonoma one, and what you'll find is that they've got links in, you know, related to certain products, which then link to particular recipes and the like. So, you know, really nice added value that is then providing a rich experience. And then finally, recognize that it is probably a multiple stage or multiple visit across multiple devices that is going to get the individual customer to convert. And you need to recognize that. The more you can recognize that and think about techniques that you can do to get them back. So if they viewed the catalog and clicked through but didn't purchase, what are you going to do? You're going to nudge them, maybe send them an email, something of that nature. You know, that is going to then ultimately drive them back and, if you like, recycle them, recycle the lead and get more people to convert ultimately. Okay, so let me just summarize and wrap up with, you know, three key benefits of digital catalogs. So number one, this really reflects what people are doing, in particular with tablets now, around recreational browsing. You know, traditional catalogs have been used in that way. It's almost a form of recreation. It's fun just to browse and flick through. But, of course, what that's doing is educating you about your brand or educating the customer about your brand and about your product range and about different products they might consider buying. So it allows the customer to get warm on your products, to get the idea of purchase in their mind, and obviously also allows you to show the product in different settings than you might have just, say, on the website on the product detail page. If you go into the aggregated apps, then what you'll find is that you can get a really rich stream of new high-value traffic, and this is a massive benefit. A lot of people looking for traffic just don't think digital catalogs, and yet this is like a hidden secret in the industry at the moment. This is a great opportunity to get in there and tap into that stream of traffic. And the third one really is, as we've seen, the impact on conversions. You know, if you say, okay, well, I might get double my conversion rate or more, and I might see a higher average order value, you put that together with more traffic, and all of a sudden this thing can become extremely profitable for you. So in general, people's experience with digital catalogs is extremely positive and favorable. Okay, so that's plenty from me. We as Conversion Academy are just about to publish an ebook with some research data, which you've just seen some of, in a digital catalogs and conversions book. It's not available quite yet, but as and when it is available, then you will be able to find it either on our Conversion Academy website or, indeed, if you want to get us to send you one as soon as it is available, it's just gone to print, so with a bit of luck, I should say print, digital print, with a bit of luck, it should be available not by the end of April, as this slide says, but maybe as early as next week. So just shoot us an email at info@cy.com, and we will send you a copy of that research report as soon as that is available. Okay, so that is everything from me. I'll be here in and around the questions, and please do ask questions in the Q&A panel, and we will try and pick those up. Now, let me introduce or say hi to Kevin. Kevin.
Thank you, Charles, very much. I'd like to just touch a little bit on what Charles said. The reason why I'm speaking today is I'm probably in a lot of the same boat as most of you listeners here today. We are an early adopter of the digital catalog. Retail Resource is the company, we're part of TAC North America, and we're traditionally all TAC companies are catalogers. Retail Resource, though, we are a new company as of 2010 and fully broken off from TAC North America in 2012. And it was in August of 2012 when we launched our first digital catalog. I come from a catalog industry as far as internet goes, working with companies that specialize in building platforms for the catalog industry, and I've been with Retail Resource since November of last year. So we are on our second edition, and I'd like to share a lot of the things that Charles talked about and what we're doing in the early stages and the great wins that we've seen so far. So with that, again, like I mentioned, we are a part of the TAC family and how long we've been around for since 2010, but we are actually a division of the Hubert Company. and we sell retail supplies to the retailers. So if you have a retail store, anything from your shelves or rackings, your display racks and stuff like that, that's what we specialize in. To give you a quick look, this is what our digital catalog looks like. And back in, I would say it was May or June of last year, our company teamed up with Bluetoad to have them develop our system for us. And it gives our traditional catalogers the look and the feel of the catalog, having a catalog in their hand digitally instead of having, you know, it come through the mail for them. And we've had a great response with this so far. I'd like to share some data with you and everything. Since 2012, what we've seen, now we just started our second edition is live on the site. That was launched in April. So most of this data is from our August 2012 fall-winter digital catalog. And first of all, anything you do, and Charles touched on this, you should be able to measure it. And that was the key with me coming to this company, is to find out what was working and what wasn't. And what we found is almost 12.5% of our site's visitors were coming from mobile devices. But we wanted to really look at that a little bit better. And I found out that out of that almost 12.5%, 90% of those people were using tablets to look through our catalog. Now, as Charles pointed out, every company is different, and everybody's buyers are different when it comes to the Internet. And we, looking at that, we knew that, you know, mobile ability wasn't necessarily linked to cell phones. I mean, think of the products that, you know, we're thinking of the products that we have. Are you really going to buy on a cell phone? But what we did find out is out of that nearly 12% coming mobile, the 90% of that being tablets, we had a very, very high conversion rate on that. The amount of people that came to our site from the catalog were converting at a much, much higher level. Charles's data here says 33%. Ours wasn't quite that high, but 23%, I would say, isn't very bad whatsoever. The average time spent from our mobile people was about a minute and 50 seconds, which is 40% less than the desktop users. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to find out, okay, how could we increase that? We didn't have a very good time on site, and the page per visits were a little bit lower, but the thing that kept jumping out was that conversion rate of 23% of the people that came converted. And some of the other, you know, stats that we saw were how much or how many people were actually coming to the site. And I'd like to bring that up. The answer, you know, we had this question out there, okay, how do we help, you know, our people that are looking at our catalog convert more? Well, looking at the data again and seeing that more people were tablet-oriented, we touched on with Bluetoad and asked them to develop a app for the tablet so they could actually download the catalog, where we're getting a lot of visitors that are converting at a high rate. Our digital catalog averages, you know, nearly 3,000 page views per month. Now, that's only 10 a day. The unique visitors are very high on that as well, at 26. So, you know, getting those people to come over, we looked at that and said, this could be a real good win for us. So at the current moment, we're developing, you know, we're not quite there yet. We're developing our apps. We have both the Amazon and our Google Droid app available, but we'll not, you know, we're not really publicizing that yet until the Apple is actually out. But we're looking to see an increase in those actual conversions that are coming over now that we're putting the actual catalog on a device that they're looking, you know, that they're using, and a device that is converting at a much, much higher rate. the statistics show since January of the 13th, you know, our digital catalog has contributed 3.1% of our total transactions. And out of those transactions, again, it's a 23% conversion rate, with the average being slightly, it's around $15 less than our average e-commerce conversion. But what we're looking to do is how can we drive, you know, by driving those people and adding our apps, we feel that we can increase that number by just 2%. Okay, users by just 2%. And I've got that basically listed out for you is, you know, by increasing our percentage of mobile users by 2%, that would give us an extra 1,000 visitors per month. And I'm sure any of you could use an extra 1,000 visitors per month. I know we sure can. And, you know, using our standard conversion rate, I know I'm being realistic, and we're being realistic here, that 23% would love to see that. And as Charles pointed out, that normally doubles what you have. And if that goes to 46%, wow, would that be great. But if it just stays at the average of right around 3%, almost 4% that we're at online, we're looking at an extra $4,300. So it's really looking at our numbers that have actually, you know, given us the information of where we need to go with our digital catalog at this time. It's going to be different for everybody. We realize that. So it's not something that we're, you know, I'm sitting here pushing that says you need to go out and get a digital catalog just because of what we're doing and the numbers that we have. Should you have a digital catalog, as the numbers of Charles said, absolutely. You know, it's just a whole different mindset of people and different traffic that you're getting. What we found here is our catalog is driving the same people, our printed catalog. What our digital catalog is doing is driving a whole new market for us out there. Those are the people, and we've seen it. Our regular on-site visitors to our e-commerce site, the return to new visitors is 80-20. It's unreal because the majority of those people are people that we're mailing our catalog to. Where we're seeing the biggest impact is with our digital catalog because they're finding us online. These are people that don't get our catalog or didn't get our catalog at the beginning, and now they're getting it. We're getting plenty of calls saying, hey, we've got your digital catalog. We buy for you. You know, we don't need your paper catalog anymore. A lot of people are going more green. So that's what we've seen as a company more than anything else. Some of the other factors that we've seen in our digital catalog as well is just the interaction with it. I mean, that was one of the reasons also that we decided to do a digital app that they could download to their tablets is a lot of people were in our industry from our product managers have seen that a lot of our buyers use tablets in their everyday business, from their ordering to see what's in stock and everything like that. So they're integrating in the system. Will that be the same for you? Do not know. It's something that, you know, you might want to look into. But, again, our data is showing that majority of our people in the mobile application that are coming to our site are using tablets. So that's really sorry I didn't have more for you. Again, we are early adopters of this. We've just, again, had our second edition come out in April. We've seen very positive feedback and use of it. And our, like I said, two of our three apps are out now. We're just waiting for the Apple version to come out. Hopefully any of you are in the retail business that buy products would surely, you know, go and test out our apps. You can find them in both the Google and the Amazon store right now. We will be publicizing that out a little bit more on our website once the Apple one gets out, so you can play around with it and see what it's kind of like. But we've been very happy with Blue Toad, what they've done for us, and we couldn't be, you know, we couldn't be more pleased with the customer relationships that we have with them. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Joe so he can start doing questions and answers.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. As Kevin said, we have some time here for some Q&A. Just want to remind everyone that you can submit your questions to today's panelists by using the Q&A box on your console. So we have some questions lined up, but feel free to send some more in. First one I have here, and is Kevin, this one might be good for you. Can you talk about some of the costs that the company incurred as you developed your digital catalog? What kind of costs are around that?
The only cost we had, and it was really fairly none, but I think would be an exception if you're a catalog company, because Blue Toad made it so, you know, of course the cost for them to put it together for us, but the thing is we had everything basically in print. They simply, you know, asked for us to give them PDFs of all of our, you know, pages, and they put it together. So that was very minimal for us. So if you don't have that, I really couldn't, you know, speak to as far as the cost, but I think that's where it turns out. And if you are a catalog, or if you, you know, especially nowadays with the digital printing, you know, system and everything that's out there, you'll probably have very little cost as far as getting it set up. Other than that, we already had everything ready to go. We just handed it over to them. The only cost we had was their labor putting it together and doing what they do in their niche market.
Okay. Here's one, Kevin or Charles, you can jump in on this one as well. Question is in regards to recommending any aggregators for the digital catalogs. You both have mentioned Google, Catalog Spree, I believe you mentioned, Charles. Any other thoughts on some other aggregators that brands should look into?
Yeah, this is Charles. Let me cover that. Other than those two, then you should look maybe at Glimpse, Catalog by the Find, Coffee Table. Flit is a slightly different flavor. The young company that's sort of doing a aggregated shopping app, which sort of a aggregator combined with sort of almost a sort of a Pinterest style of approach, and then Shopkick as well. They have shopping rewards, which has got some catalog elements in it there. So that should give you plenty of research to do.
Okay. Next one here we have is in regards to what are the best ways to promote a digital catalog. The person asking the question suggests maybe email, homepage. What are your thoughts on that? Either of you can answer that one.
This is Kevin. I can touch a little bit. We're just starting out with the catalog. The catalog itself, of course, we have a print catalog, and we're promoting it out. The downfall to that is it's only going to the people that already know us. So some of the other ways that we're touching a lot of our clientele is through landing pages on our pay-per-click advertisement, our emails going out, and then again, basically, you know, promoting it within the site. So it's the other affiliate programs and pay-per-click things that we're doing now, and then trying to, once we, you know, get a little bit more out there, you know, hopefully, you know, are organic, but that's really the only way right now to get any new people. It's really, you know, the only way that we found out so far is A, doing the pay-per-click, or B, we're just starting, as what Charles just mentioned, where all those catalog places there, because then you're getting new people to target.
Yeah, so this is Charles. I mean, obviously, getting it on your site, that's kind of really important, getting it so that people can download it. If you've got an email list, you email it out to them. Maybe you link those two things together. So one of the things you want to do is you want to capture more emails on your website anyway. So maybe sign up here, give us your email address in return for getting a digital catalog. You can link those two things there. There is a category in iTunes for catalogs, so you can link it in there, and then you'll hopefully get promoted. And then obviously the aggregators are the really big one that you should think about.
Okay. Next question we have here is in regards to what platform do you recommend or is preferred for digital catalogs, PDF, InDesign? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, let me go first. My take from having researched this area, is that the default and the standard is PDF. So I think if you're in PDF, you're in good shape as long as you've got high enough quality.
And same here. The only thing I can really speak to is PDF because that's what we used as well, and we've had no problems whatsoever.
Okay. Next question is in regards to analytics. And how do you obtain your analytics from digital catalog, and how do you know the true activity then of your customers on that catalog? I guess, Kevin, maybe you could get started on that one.
Sure. Actually, our provider, Bluetoad, gives us a dashboard that, one, shows all the activity, how many people, unique visitors, just like your regular analytics setup, but then we've also got tracking to track these people back when they're coming from there as well, and that goes, you know, that's being filtered into our analytic packages where we use both Google Analytics and Omniture to facilitate those and to find out more of the interactions of the people, you know, that are on the catalog and then come from the catalog to the site to purchase or do other things.
Yeah, I would echo that. I mean, I think there's obviously you clicking tracking the click-through traffic in your web analytics is kind of the obvious way. But as I alluded to in my presentation, the benefit of the digital catalog is probably bigger than just the click-through traffic. Of course, you can't measure it. I can't really see how you could do a control group in the way you might do in other areas. So you're just going to have to, go a little bit with your gut. But in general, the numbers that you get out of your click-through traffic are so positive anyway that more than will justify the effort of producing it.
Charles, this one might be a good one for you. Do you have any statistics on rich content within digital catalogs, for example? How many visitors are viewing an integrated media like a video, how long they're watching the video, and then kind of a second part to that, are there any numbers on click-throughs for catalogs that use rich media, digital catalogs that use rich media versus ones that don't?
So to give you a straight answer, no, I don't. I don't have those numbers. I have generally found it quite difficult to get just even simple conversion numbers on digital catalogs, and there is not that much stuff about. So if you Google it and try and find it, and you do find it, then please let me know. Please send it over, because I'm always interested to learn more, particularly about the rich media stuff. So I don't know. I asked the product managers at Google Catalog and Catalog Spree, for exactly that data. They don't have it either. So I'm afraid I can't help.
Okay. Next question here is in regards to international. Another one, Charles, might be good for you. Do you have any stats regarding use of digital catalogs internationally, especially when it comes to tablet and mobile channels?
Yeah, I mean, I think the it's nascent would be the way that I would put it. I mean, it's still fairly early days in the U.S., but internationally, for example, Google Catalogs is not available outside of the U.S., so that immediately, closes off, one avenue Catalog Spree is. But obviously what you need to do is you need to have multiple variations for different countries. But in general, I don't see an awful lot of digital catalog activity at the moment outside the U.S., I would expect it next in the UK. The UK is a very strong traditional catalog market. It's one of the reasons that UK has a very strong online commerce business. In fact, I think UK citizens spend more online than any other citizen, globally. And people attribute that primarily to, the fact that they're used to having catalogs coming through the mail and sort of remote purchasing.
Next question is in regards to mobile again. The attendee wants to know, how many mobile devices should we expect to create apps for as far as their digital catalog is concerned? Any recommendations for that?
Charles, I'd like to take this first. I think that's where you definitely need to use your analytics to see what's going on. We brought that up, and instead of throwing the money and say, hey, let's build all these applications, we saw our first one was for tablets. We see very little traffic at all from the mobile phones, let alone, you know, even conversions. We have no conversions from mobile phones, so we're able to see that type of technology they're actually using. So, again, why jump in and spend the money to build something when, you know, it's not really needed? But that's going to be totally different across a lot of industries. So, again, look at your analytics. Look and see what your people are doing, you know, coming to your site before you jump into that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, the action in terms of conversions are all tablet-based. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's sort of 82% of the number we gave out earlier on of conversions currently coming from tablets based upon data this month. Whereas there are people buying on mobile phones, but frankly, you know, the mobile phone is the wrong format for a digital catalog. It's not what people use them for. Which is kind of why I talk about recreational shopping and how it fits in. So just think tablets in terms of conversions overall. And I would think catalog versus app. I don't think necessarily you should, you know, rush around thinking about putting effort into apps. You may find that you get there much faster, quicker, and easier with a combination of a digital catalog and then a tablet-optimized e-commerce site. Certainly the brands that I've been working with recently have told me that they are getting a lot more traffic, a lot more conversions from mobile-optimized sites than they are from mobile apps themselves.
Okay. Next one here is this might be a good one for you, Kevin. Would you develop your digital catalog differently than a traditional catalog? And if so, what are the differences and any recommendations?
I don't know if I design it differently yet. I think it's too early to tell because the majority, my short time here at the company, but looking at it, the majority of the people that are seeing and using it are pretty much our customers that are getting our paper catalog. And what I mean by – what I'm getting to there is we're duplicating that with our digital catalog. So, you can go to the same page in the paper. It's the same page on the digital. They wanted to keep that alike. Now, will that change after we get more into the digital? We get newer clients that aren't getting our paper? That's still yet to be seen, but I really couldn't answer that, you know, honestly for you and be 100% right on either whatever I would say for that.
Okay. Next one here is, are there any statistics showing that the aggregators that you're speaking about, they're promoting the digital catalogs better than a brand's own website? The attendee says or seems to believe that a cataloger's own marketing efforts might be stronger. Your thoughts on that one?
Well, my take on that is that I don't think it's either or. I think it's and. It's kind of really obvious that you would do both. Why would you only do one rather than promote it on your site itself? I mean, obviously, you know, there's benefit from doing that. You don't have to pay, the referral traffic. But the big benefit really from the aggregated app is that, in particular, if you're a small brand, you are then seen alongside big brands, and you effectively get this halo effect. You're more credible because you're right up there next to Macy's and Nordstrom and Crate and Barrel and all those sorts of things. And secondly, because those big catalogs are there in that environment, they attract huge amounts of traffic. Go look at their traffic stats, and they are just—they're just astonishing. So it's really the ability to tap into that which is relevant. I know the argument has traditionally been, you know, the sort of love-hate relationship with affiliates. You kind of need it, but in this case, the affiliate, in form of the aggregator, is in fact generating a huge amount of traffic because they're bringing, you know, significant value in terms of by aggregating all those different applications, all those different catalogs into one place.
Next question here I have, are there any, Charles, in your research, and Kevin, you feel free to jump on this one as well, any particular categories of business that have benefited more from having a digital catalog?
Well, I can't really comment on that because I haven't looked specifically at vertical industries, but I would say that the majority of the ones that you see are sort of traditional B2C type environment. At some point, somebody is going to come out with an aggregator, if it doesn't already exist. I haven't looked, so I don't know, but an aggregator specifically for B2B, that would seem to be a really obvious play. So if somebody on the line is kind of really entrepreneurial on this webcast, there's an opportunity there for you.
Great. We have one here for you, Kevin. The attendee wants to know how much of your digital catalog traffic is coming from the aggregators versus catalogs downloaded from your own website versus digital catalogs that you've included in an email to your customers and prospects. Do you have that breakdown of traffic?
Almost all of it is coming from our website promotion itself. We're just now getting into the aggregates, and again, you know, that's what I tried to get across. You know, we're fairly new into this and everything, and not only me speaking on there here is a privilege, but it's more of a benefit that I got to talk to Charles a little bit ahead of time and get a little bit more of this information from him. So really all of ours, you know, I cannot speak to that as far as aggregate yet because we haven't started to use those yet as far as that goes.
Okay. Another one for you, Kevin. Visitors that are viewing your digital catalog, are they able to click on a product and then buy that directly from the digital catalog?
Actually, what we have going on is when they click on it, they go directly to that product, and you know they can put it in their shopping cart on our site. So it is seamless, though. It looks like you're right there, but it basically you know takes them right to the product page on our site.
Okay. Next one here is the attendee says if most purchases are happening via the website and digital catalogs are more of a browsing experience, do you have any recommendations on how to link or transition from the tablet to your website and then, you know, to avoid losing visitors between the two mediums?
Well, I mean, to some extent, Kevin's already covered that. But, I mean, I think the way that most people do it is they literally take it directly into the product page. You could obviously try and think about having, almost an add-to-cart button where you can then effectively create the cart as they click through. But in general, it literally just takes you to the product detail page, and you would then click add-to-cart from there and then buy on the regular site as normal.
Okay. Here's one. The attendee wants to know, is there a specific place on their website that would be best to place their digital catalog?
Well, I could, you know, right there where they can see it. There's statistics have shown as far as, you know, there's a certain eye mapping, the upper right all the way down about 6 inches and up to the top left as like a triangle. We have actually on our site, we've got a 5 right in the center rotating carousel where we have a huge banner. It's really, you know, that's something that should be tested. That's where you want to test depending on the layout of your site and everything of can you move it around and move it around to see which ones get more, you know, what sections of your site will draw more interaction with that unit. Like they say, I mean, if you've done any kind of internet marketing or anything, always be testing. And we found out that place right there gets the most clicks for us. So my recommendation, and Charles, and you know, please feel free to jump in on this, is always be testing what would be the best place.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time for today. I just want to take this opportunity to thank Charles Nichols of CY and Kevin Chamberlain of Retail Resource for their time. I also would like to say on behalf of Retail Online Integration and Blue Toad, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get all the information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. And if you would just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, We'd be very grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. So at this time, I'd like to say thank you, and I hope to see you all at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Have a good afternoon, everyone.